Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, I'm excited about this one.
Well, good morning, sir. I am too. This is going to be a lot of fun. We've got a studio full and we're going to have great conversations. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce co-founder and managing partner with Jabian Consulting. And he's really here. I want to get caught up on what people are doing in their consulting practice when that's the case. But he's really here to talk a little bit about conscious capitalism. So please join me in welcoming Nigel Zeltzer. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, Nigel, before we get into conscious capitalism, why don't you tell us a little bit about JB and how are you serving folks?
Yeah, so we are a local management consulting firm with offices in Atlanta, Dallas, and Charlotte. And we help mid-market and Fortune 500 companies with their people, process, technology, and strategy issues and work through them with them.
And your involvement with conscious capitalism, how did that come
yeah,
about?
So conscious capitalism probably officially started 6 or 7 years ago when I was at the Inc. 5000 conference. I was listening to a speaker, and that speaker was a private equity person, but everything they said about the culture of their company sounded like our company. And I spoke to him later on, and he said, well, basically, you're a conscious capitalist company. So officially 6 or 7 years ago, but in reality, we've been conscious capitalist company since the beginning of the time. Yeah.
Now, what is conscious capitalism for those who aren't familiar with the term?
Yeah, at 30,000 feet, the concept of capitalism, it's the greatest movement for helping humanity. But if we get to do it in a conscious way, then we actually get to make the world a better place. And so at 30,000 feet, that's it. Four major principles where we look at purpose, stakeholdership, leadership, and culture.
Now, I believe that capitalism in some respects needs kind of some PR help, and it gets a bad name out there for a lot of people. And I think that at the heart of the conscious capitalism movement is getting back to the core of what capitalism is about, to me at least, is about serving and helping the community as well as your kind of stakeholders in your business.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you think about our stakeholders, you know, most people, when they're running a company, it's for the value of their shareholders, right? Mm-hmm. And we look at it as a value of our stakeholders. So let me just put it a little bit in context.
Right.
We have a local consulting firm. Most firms, management consulting firms, they get on the road. So Sunday night, they say goodbye to their families. They come back on Friday. You lose a lot of time in taxis, hotels. If you're a local firm, you get to have a lot more time on your hand. And if you think about the stakeholders we have, they're more than just shareholders, right? So our employees, we have a concept of everyone having a personal platform. What are you famous for? If you have a lot of time on your hand now because you're not traveling in taxis and so forth, you can become famous in your local community, right?
Right.
Other stakeholders, our clients, most people go if they're traveling. They go see their client. They've never met their client before. They leave on a Thursday night. They never have to see that client again. And for us, we look at growing our clients, making it more than just our job. And we see them in the supermarket. We see them at the sports fields. They're really our friends. You know, and another stakeholder, maybe two other quick stakeholders. One would be the community. And we have our own 501c3. And it's all about if people are becoming famous in their community, they can help grow their community. I think the final stakeholder I like, there's many more, but the final stakeholder I really like is family. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a partner, your kids. When we do a family event and someone comes up to me afterwards, maybe a child, and goes, wow, it's really good to have mom as a soccer coach now, or really good to have dad as a baseball coach. You know that you're adding value to those stakeholders.
Now, where do you think kind of the misconceptions about capitalism came about? You know, you watch every Hollywood movie, the villain is some business owner that's exploiting the environment or is greedy and just trying to amass gazillion dollars. And I mean, we have the privilege of interviewing business people every day in here. And that's just not my experience with business people. Business people typically are risking a lot in the hopes of making it somehow, in whatever that means to them. They are, you know, trying to serve as many people as possible, hoping that something's going to come back to them. I don't see that greed, but that seems to be the narrative in traditional media and in the film, at least.
Yeah, I think when you look at publicly held companies, and publicly held companies that have to report quarterly, and have to report quarterly to what a shareholder wants to hear and see, I think that's where the bad side of capitalism is. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a long-term view. Even though those companies might be doing well, at the end of the day, they're being driven to every quarter provide value, no matter what, provide financial value to that shareholder, no matter what it takes. Mm-hmm. I think that side of it is a greedy side of how people look at it.
And then that's kind of trickling down to the vast majority of businesses aren't publicly held companies.
Right. And, right. But you get to see that on the news. Right. You don't hear about the small companies on the news. Right.
So they're just taking all the oxygen out of kind of the people's right view.
Yeah, exactly. It's what's making the press and what's making the headlines. And right. In reality, there are many small, medium, and don't get me wrong, publicly held companies. If right. You look at Tom's or Whole Foods, these are great conscious capitalist companies. But the news headlines have a tendency not to to share that information.
Right. And so that's where this conscious capitalism movement kind of grew up and is now expanding through chapters around the country and through around the globe, right?
Yeah. There's about 40 plus chapters in the United States. They're trying to hit about 40 different countries. The movement's been around for almost 10 years, mm-hmm. One form or another. But Conscious Capitalism International this year really took a stand to say, if we're going to be a movement, we got to get a lot more people involved. We got to get a lot more chapters involved. And so, yes, it's spreading like wildfire now.
And now it's trying this grassroots movement to put chapters around the planet and to kind of evangelize the movement.
Correct. Yes. That's the whole purpose of the chapters, to have them on the ground. We've just launched the Atlanta chapter, mm-hmm. and that's our way of getting back into the Atlanta community to tell others and teach others what is this movement all about.
And then for you as a company, it seemed like a logical hand in glove fit to get involved with this.
Yeah. Like I described before, this whole concept of being in a local model, having all that extra time on your hands, you now have the opportunity to really try to grow your community. Grow your clients, grow your employees. And in turn, don't get me wrong, that helps JBN grow.
Right.
And that's what the movement's all about.
And that's, I think, one of the main points is that these aren't separate things. They can be, kind of joined together. It's not unwholesome to try to make profit.
It's definitely part of the movement.
Right.
Part of the movement is to drive a business to make profit, but do it in a conscious way.
Right.
Yeah. Capitalism helps people rise. Out of the ashes, right? And it's really important.
Now, for firms that want to get involved in the Atlanta chapter, are you firm sponsors or one of the sponsors of the chapter?
Yeah, we're a founding member here in Atlanta. We're also a founding member in our Dallas office. And the best way to look about it is there's a website, atlantaconsciouscapitalism.org. And go out there, sign up. We're new, so there's not a ton of events, but we'll be having events here in April. Just a quick shout out, the Hope for Global Forum has also got the CEO of Conscious Capitalism coming at the end of April. And so there's a variety of ways. But yeah, go on the website, sign up, you'll be on the mailing list, and then you get to know about the events.
Now, when you decided to raise your hand and say, I want to get involved and I want to be part of this, were you surprised at how many people kind of also raised their hand and are interested in this?
I'm optimistic, so I'm not surprised. I was excited. We ran our very first event. We didn't really tell many people about it. It was like friends and family, right? And I think we had over 120 people at our very first event at Super Jenny, and we blew it out. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's clearly a movement and a need and a desire that people want to jump on.
Right. Everybody I tell about it, they're like, weren't aware. They know, the Whole Foods guy, right?
Yeah.
They may or may not have read the book, but they just, the credo, like you mentioned, kind of these core points, it just resonates with so many people, and especially the small to mid-sized person, that it just, that's how they live their life and run their business anyway.
Exactly. Waking up every morning, mm-hmm. enjoying what you're doing and having a purpose-driven
right.
business and makes working so much more enjoyable. Yeah.
Right.
So I've been telling everyone about it as well, including family, friends, people inside our ecosystem. And I really resonate with the message. And I love hearing you talk about it and you and Lee talk about it. And the gentleman that came in like last week and sat down and we just chatted about it. And everybody was just singing my song. And I don't feel like I have the language for it when I'm trying to describe it. You know, I'll have little bits and pieces. So I'm wondering if one of the great advantages of getting together with other like-minded people is you learn how to describe how you feel. Because I clearly feel the same way, but I don't have the language yet. Is that accurate, though? That's one benefit of hanging out with you guys.
I certainly think so. Because these are principles. They're not being dictated of how every business runs it different. And so by hanging out, you get to learn more about the principles and how they apply to your business and how you can shape your business around those principles.
So how often does this crowd get together?
Well, we just kicked off. So we've had about, we've had 3 meetings last year.
Yeah.
I think the goal is to have 1 meeting every quarter. And there'll be education so people can learn as you described. And also having guest speakers who are running businesses in that environment.
And then are there any baby steps companies can take to kind of get involved with the group? Like I would guess read the book first.
Yeah, or, you know, that's the first thing I would tell people. Read the Conscious Capitalism book. It's written by John Mackey from Whole Foods, CEO of Whole Foods, and Raj Sisodia, who's a professor out of Babson. So read the book. There's another book that Raj also wrote called Firms of Endearment. So if you really want to see how major U.S. companies and international, public and private, have just exceeded S&P 500 and all the different numbers, that's a really good book to read. And then show up at an event and get to ask questions. Everyone likes to share their information, then you can learn a lot.
And then the events are going to start happening here in Atlanta, but the group is based out of Dallas. I think they have events also throughout the year.
Yeah, so Conscious Capitalism International is actually based out of San Francisco. There are 2 major conferences that people could join. One is happening in spring. It's actually going to be in Dallas this year, end of April, beginning of May. So go out to consciouscapitalism.org. And then the CEO conference, which I attend every single year, is in October in Austin.
Mm-hmm. And Business Radio X is getting involved as well. So there will likely be in the future Margarita Mondays. I got all kinds of
questions. Yeah, I like that idea. It's very conscious.
So now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to learn more about Jabian, what's the best way to do that?
Just shoot me an email, nigel.zeltzer@jabian.com or send me info@jabian.com.
And do you have the website for the Conscious Capitalism folks?
Yeah. So it's atlanta.consciouscapitalism.org.
So before we wrap, can we talk a little bit about Jabian Cares? Because this is not unrelated at all. It's a manifestation of this mindset, of this value system, right?
100%. So we started our own 501c3 very early on. It's called Jabian Cares. It's an employee-led board. Its whole mission is to give back to the local community from a perspective of volunteerism, leadership, and financial support. So from a leadership perspective, 60% of our employees now hold leadership positions on boards in their local community. Why? Because they're becoming famous and they're giving back. From a financial support, we match dollar for dollar everything that an employee wants to contribute. It's an employee-led board. And then we run, we'll have 20 or 30 different donations and events throughout the entire year that everyone gets involved in.
Man, what a great way to run a consulting firm. And I've been
it's
in
fun.
And around and fired from a few. So speak
it's
with
fun.
Some experience. One more time. Corden, if someone wants to reach out, have a conversation with you, learn more about the conscious capitalism movement, what are the best ways?
Yeah, I would say probably the easiest one to follow from an email perspective, info@jbn.com, and that will come straight through to me. And I'm happy to share any information people want on conscious capitalism or sign up at atlanta.consciouscapitalism.org. And I look forward to meeting you at an event.
Well, Nigel, thanks so much for coming down and hanging out with us, man. This is informative. It's inspiring. And
it's important.
It's important. That's the right word I'm looking for. The 3 I's, informative, inspiring, and important. Hey, listen, can you hang out with us? We're going to visit with a couple more guests.
I certainly can. Look forward to it.
Fantastic. All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us Vice President with Exceptional Kids Athletics, Inc. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. Daniel Dodson.
Hey there, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Well, Daniel, you're with Exceptional Kids Athletics?
Yes.
And then what are you guys doing for folks?
Exceptional Kids Athletics, we are a 501c3 that originally started about 4 or 5 years ago in Gwinnett County. one of our founders was an occupational therapist that worked with special needs kids. And her husband used to help coach some other events and do different things. And one day she was working with one of her clients, and the guy, he eventually turned out to be another one of our founders, but he has a son with autism. And John is a former international soccer player from Barbados. And they got to discussing things that kids with special needs could do around. And there were a few, but they had to go travel quite a distance. And a lot of these events as well, the parents were required to be out there with the child mm-hmm. while they were doing the event. So Amy, our founder, and her husband, Scott, got with John. They started Exceptional Kids Athletics. And the basis for our thing is to make every child feel as though they are part of something even bigger, to make the parents feel part as normal parents should, to sit on the sidelines and watch their kid participate in events while they're going on. We do not discriminate against any child. We will have any disability on with us.
It's always soccer, though?
Oh, no. Right no. Well, we originally started off with soccer because that is what John...
Right.
And but we, within our first couple of years, we expanded into basketball and kickball as well. We were running pretty much year-round with only a couple weeks break for us as the members to take. But the kids, we were going back to back to back.
Because they were hungry for this.
And the kids love it.
Right.
And, you know, Amy's husband passed away a couple years ago, and that really put a halt on everything for a mm-hmm. while. But we are kicking back off because parents were still wanting that.
Right.
And
the kids, you know.
The kids love it.
Because there's not a lot of other outlets for them like that.
Oh, no. And we want the parents to know the kids are safe. Mm-hmm. So while they are out there, no parent is allowed on the field. We bring in...
So it gives a parent a break where they're not like super duper caregiver for the kid, where they can just watch their kid perform.
It gives them that break of that constant 24/7
right. Yeah.
That they were having to give that child that, you know what, for an hour, guess what? Go sit over there and chit-chat right. with so-and-so's mom and y'all discuss what you want to do, you know? And so, but while the kids are out there, all of our coaches are trained. We usually have some type of medical professional or therapist right. on the field with us as well. And then we also bring in other kids that usually have service hours or whatever. And we buddy them up with every athlete. And every athlete usually has one.
So there's like several people around every athlete sometimes, right?
Exactly. So the parents sit out there. They know who's allowed on the field because the coaches, all the volunteers that are allowed on the field have different colored shirts on.
Right.
So we know if it is somebody that we bring on the field just to help take pictures that day, they have been thoroughly checked by our...
Wow.
So to take pictures, and they'll have a badge on. So the parents know they're safe.
Right.
And then just sit back and enjoy it and watch it. And we will eventually...
Take care of the rest.
Yes, and we will put them through every kind of conditioning and training that a normal... athlete would. And
because a lot of the people involved, they're either played sports mm-hmm. at a high level. Mm-hmm. Like you're not, this isn't just like you're just recruiting parents from the neighborhood, right?
Oh, no. I mean, no. And that's another thing. I mean, when we started with our soccer, like I said, our founder, John, was an former international player. A couple of our other coaches coach a lot of the travel programs around Atlanta. So they're highly skilled and trained right. with it. And so that is one thing. We always try to make sure the coaches are the top of the line for the kids, not only for the parents, but for the kids.
Sure.
We show them and work with them to help them create drills that the child can do. And if they can't, the buddy or the volunteer that's with the child will help them. And it's just, a lot of it's just working their muscles and helping them move around. And it's,
in probably ways they hadn't done previously.
No, except maybe with their therapist.
Right.
And they love it. I mean, and it's, I know my son who's 18 now, he's volunteered with a couple kids throughout the years. And even though they'll see him at events and their faces will light up and they'll go crazy over it. Hey, you know, and the buddies get something out of it too.
Yeah,
they you could tell at first they're a little nervous, but once they get out there and start seeing these kids and start working with them, that doesn't last very long at all.
Now the types of needs that the children have, do they have to be able to walk or run, or is it
no
in wheelchair?
No, we will take anybody. We are actually gearing up for our season to start here in a couple weeks in March. We'll be at Rhodes Jordan Park in Gwinnett County for another season of soccer. And I believe we already have 3 to 4 athletes that are in wheelchairs that we will have multiple buddies with them.
So someone will push them around?
Somebody will push them. Another buddy will usually help control their extremities and may take a ball and walk over there and grab their foot and help them act like they're kicking the ball. And it's just, wow. And they enjoy it. So
I'm sure at every game, there's tears. The parents must be so rewarding and overwhelming.
Oh yeah. You see it at the very beginning. There, you know, some parents the first year, first couple of practices, you see that they're nervous.
Yeah.
By about third week, they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, they'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, I see it. But we got so much out of it because I know about our second year, we were taking some of our higher functioning athletes. And we were actually running full games with them by the end of it. We were pulling the buddies and the volunteers off the field and would just have a coach or maybe somebody to act like a ref. And we were running full games, and it looked like a regular soccer game that you would see going on.
So is that how it works, where you kind of do it by skill or what?
We try to match the athletes up depending on their level, their functioning. We have a higher functioning and a lower functioning. We try to skill them so they're... Their age is not anything.
It's less important age than it is.
Yes, because we will take, you know, our ages run from 4 to 5 years old to the time they are actually graduate high school, which is a lot of times 21 years old. So we will take them all the way up until that and work with them as long as we can.
All right. I got to know, what is your backstory? How in the world did you land doing this?
Amy and her husband, I had coached their son in football for a number of years. And Scott,
you sound like a football coach. You know that? My father was a basketball coach. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I used to tell the kids, I'm not yelling, I'm just speaking loudly so you can hear me.
Do they buy that?
Sometimes. but yeah, my wife and I ran into him one day in the grocery store.
Something compelled you to get involved with this and beyond just general interest.
And it was. And I tell you what, as a volunteer coming into it, it made me nervous as well because I'd never worked with a kid like that.
Right.
So I had to kind of go through it. But once you step out on that field, it doesn't matter if you work with them or not. It's still coaching in a sense. You still get the same excitement and enjoyment that you do. But to see an athlete that you know, most people will never think they could do certain things, but to see them just do something as simple as kick a ball or pick it up and throw it, and to see the parents' excitement it'll blow you away. So
now, has anything happened that was kind of unexpected or a surprise that you were like, well, I think it's this thing, but then you start doing it and something else?
No, not really. I mean, you know, like I said, once you step on those sidelines, it is coaching. But I never thought that I would fall in love with that kind of coaching. Mm-hmm. It blew me away. Just the basics. It's not so much about my team's got to win this for this title or the. It's just the pure enjoyment of seeing a kid that nobody would ever thought.
It goes back to the game. Now it's just the pure pureness of the game.
Yes.
Less so of the winning and losing.
Yes. Absolutely.
So now, what do you need from us? How can we help you?
Like I said, we are re-kicking off. So we are always in need. I think we have over 20-something athletes already signed up, ready to come back for the spring. So that, I mean, like I said, they were beating down our door constantly. Are y'all going to do something again? Are you going to do something again? So the minute we put it up, they were back on us. But we are always in need of volunteers for these events because, like I said, we do not want the parents out there.
Right.
You know, and even if a parent says, hey, you know, I really want to come coach.
Or I have the right skills.
Yes. Guess what? You know what? You may, but you will not be out there while your child is out there.
You can help another group.
And we do a lot of times because we will run for a couple hours on the days we do things. So we say, okay, your child may be at this hour. You're going to work the hour before. So because we still want you out there to watch that child and enjoy it. So we're always needing coaches, volunteers of any kind. If your child needs service hours, a lot of these clubs, Honor Society, Beta, they need service hours. Mm-hmm. We will give you service hours for that.
And you need the coaches that have the right skills?
Coaches that have the right skills. We are looking at developing other programs. I've recently started looking at lacrosse and bike racing, different things. So we're always needing that. Of course, we are a 501c3, so donations. I mean, it does get very expensive when you're starting to run field rentals and equipment and everything else. So it's we definitely need that because our ultimate goal is to one day to create a facility for these kids. It's difficult when we're going around to find somewhere to make sure they have everything that we want. A safe space, because we want our fields to be fenced in, because we want the parents to know, hey, your child is here.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen to them. They're not going to run off. We've got them.
And then also, probably the field has to be a little different to accommodate wheelchairs as well as or not. So
we have done some different ones. When we were used Gwinnett County, we were doing the kickball. They have we used a couple of different fields that were the carpeted type surfaces.
Right.
When we do soccer, we're on grass. Basketball, we're on normal hardwood courts. But it's a matter of that safe space for those children once they're in our care.
So if somebody wanted to get involved and learn more about the organization?
Sure. You can email me directly at ddotson@ekainc.org, or you can go to our website at ekainc.org and check us out.
Well, keep up the good work, man. That is fantastic.
Thank you.
I can tell just listening and watching you talk about it. I mean, you must find this incredibly rewarding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of hard work. I mean, outside of a normal full-time career, it's full-time in its own right. But yeah, the enjoyment of it, of seeing those kids and families, it's like nothing I've ever experienced.
All right, but we need more buddies.
More buddies.
More funding. All right. Well, we'll see what we can do about that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Hey, stay with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with.
Sure, no problem.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Lee all the way from somewhere in Ohio. Maybe we'll find that out here in a little bit. From Business Mom, Inc., Miss Deanna Walker. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what'd you learn in those last two segments?
Oh, my God. I want to volunteer. I have I actually have a nonprofit called Deanna Helping Hands, and we provide free clothing, furniture. We have events coming up here in March where we're going to give free prom dresses to teens that can't afford to go to prom. So I definitely want to get involved. So I need to get your business card before I leave.
So now you're from Dayton, Ohio. What brings you to Atlanta?
Well, I come to see you guys.
Well, thank you.
All the way from Dayton, Ohio, 7-hour drive. So, hey, hey, guys.
Well, you're here to talk about your book, Diary of an Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I started my journey being an entrepreneur about 2 years ago, and when I first started, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Who, you know, I need help. Where do I start? You know, so basically Diary of Entrepreneur is just basically steps that I took to get to where I'm at today, far as, you know, partnerships, connections, how to do a one pager for your business, how to set up a business plan. It's just details and resources that will help a business owner or entrepreneur start. And, you know, and then it also has a diary in the back of the book so you can keep track of your progress. So it's a book that you can actually write in.
So it's part instruction and then part kind of blank pages so you can chart your own journey?
Well, it's a diary. It's like an actual diary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then this allows the entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. And we have.
There's things that prompt them, mm-hmm. what inspired you.
Yeah.
And then you can track your progress as you go.
Yes. and you can put quotes in there just for daily accountability, stuff like that.
And for your path, what was your inspiration?
I just wanted to help others start a business. And I just was like, hey, let me write something that'll inspire others to just want to get out here and start a business, or just basically, help others start a business.
So now your business is Business Mom,
yes,
Inc., right?
Yes.
And then that's what you do, is you help other people.
Well, women.
Mm-hmm. Help women specifically. Yeah. And moms specifically, or?
Yes, moms.
Do they have specific challenges that are different? Do you find moms?
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, finding the time to just sit down and send an email when you're a mom is kind of hard. Especially when you have, kids running around. And I'm actually a mom of six. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're certainly qualified. That
answers that question. Yeah, so I'm a mom of six. So it's just like, finding the time to write out a business plan or make a conference call. And I have a busy schedule. So I have a webinar coming up. So I have to tell my kids, hey, guys, be quiet. And mom has to teach other people how to start a business. So I can't have you in the background throwing toys around.
How's that work?
I have a schedule. I'm like one of those moms that stays with a tight schedule, mm-hmm. and everything is in order from breakfast to lunch to daycare to park to, hey, now it's my time to sit down. Give me a glass of wine and, work.
Now, for you, it must be very rewarding in that you're role modeling what it takes to be successful to your children.
Yes.
And they're seeing it in action.
Yes. It's very inspiring because my kids every day when they go to school, they're telling their teachers like, hey, my mom has a book. Do you want to buy her a book? So I have my kids selling my book for me. And then I do t-shirts for Business Mom Inc. So my son, he's like, hey, do you want to buy my mom's t-shirt? I get half of the sale. So my kids are already entrepreneurs making sales for me. My son, he actually sold two books for me at the school. So yeah.
Well, so then are you teaching that to the people that are kind of following you?
Yes.
How to get the whole family involved?
Yes. Business Mom Inc. is basically for moms to really get inspired to work with each other, connections, partnerships. And we basically just like a big group of women that's entrepreneurs, and we just come together and we make out big plans to have huge events. And, we buy things from each other. It's just like a whole big community of women, and we just support each other, either it's through emotional or financial support. So it's just like a big movement of women that's doing as entrepreneurs.
Now, is it only in Ohio, or is this, you have women all
right
over the place?
Now it's only in Ohio, but my goal is to really get all over, because I'm pretty sure there's women that has business and their moms too. And they know the struggle of, having to, hey, I have to go to a meeting so I can't go to my son's game. Mm. So sometimes it could be a struggle, and it's a battle between having to choose mom or, entrepreneurship. So I want to let the women know it's okay to choose being a business owner. You're a mom too, and you're providing for your kids just by being a business owner also. So it comes together.
So do moms, in your experience, tend to gravitate to certain kinds of businesses, or does it run the gamut?
Some moms, I know they're just like, hey, I'm at home and I have time on my hands, so I'm just going to sit at home and start a business. But you need help. You don't want to just sit there and have a business you're putting all this money into and it's not going anywhere.
So do you work with the aspiring moms? Maybe they're not there yet, but they're just thinking about it.
Uh-huh. I actually have women that's already in play. They're like, hey, I'm on a ball,
right,
and I just need people to, I need other women to purchase my product.
Right.
So I have women that's already established, and then I have women that's getting established, so building their business plan, getting their brand out, just the connections there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you talk about the process of putting a book like this together? Had you ever done this before, or this was the first
This
time?
Is actually my first inspirational book.
Mm-hmm. But you published other books?
I do have another book published, but that's like really fantasy, like,
right? So you've gone.
Let's talk about
it'll be a good Valentine's gift. It's on Amazon.
But the process of writing a book is important for a lot of entrepreneurs.
Yes.
So do you teach that as well? Because it's not that simple.
Well, if they're asked, some women, they really just want it all about business. Mm-hmm. But if they come to me and ask, like, hey, how do you write a book? I'll say, hey, purchase Diary Entrepreneur. It'll tell you how to write a book. I mean, come on.
But the choice is available to all of us. But to your constituency, occur to me that there's the choices are so much broader now. There's so much that you really can do to provide value, genuinely mm-hmm. serve right there from your home because of the technology and maybe partially because of the mindset of society. We're more tolerant, not the right word. We fully expect that some of the folks we're interacting with, mm-hmm. that's their operating environment, and we're willing to communicate virtually, and we're willing to, is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, actually, I have a webinar coming up Monday, and I'm going to teach women how to make money from their phone in your bed. I'm going to teach you how to do drop shipping and how to be a drop shipper and how to make money.
Oh, so very tactical then. A lot of your stuff can get very tactical. Okay, yeah. We got to back up here a minute. Mm-hmm. How many kids did you have, and what were you thinking when you made the leap? Because at some point, you decided to go from whatever mm-hmm. you were doing, mm-hmm. and I'm operating under the impression maybe it was a job, mm-hmm. and you said, you know what, I'm going to go be an entrepreneur. Talk about that transition.
Okay, well, I have 6 kids, and I just decided to step out on faith.
You had 6 kids when you made this decision?
Well, at the time, I probably had 4.
And all your friends are like, what are you thinking?
Well, every job that I had, I just was like, I wasn't happy with the position that I was in. I mean, I always felt like I wanted to do more. And I'm like, hey, I want to plant the seed. And I was talking to my husband about planting seeds and watching it grow. Mm-hmm. So I planted the seeds of the book. This will be a seed. Business Mom, Inc. That'll be a seed. And now I'm watching it grow. I'm watching other women business grow. I'm watching other authors get inspired by Diary Entrepreneur. So I just stepped out on faith. I said, hey, I want to do this. I'm going to put my all into it. And it worked.
Okay, that's the interview I want. I want to get the husband in here. We got to get the husband in here. Cause, I mean, God love him, right?
Yes, and he's my biggest support. I mean, I'm like, hey, honey, I need $100 to do this. And, you know, I need this, I need that. So he's my biggest financial support and he's my biggest support system.
I believe it.
Yep.
And that's one of the lessons is to choose your partner wisely, right?
Well, I got lucky because I had a lot of maturing. I was, you know, I got lucky, so.
But that helps, right?
Yes, it does.
When you're all kind of a united front mm-hmm. and that you're all supporting and celebrating each other's successes.
Yes, yes.
Because sometimes, you know, in relationships, you can have a saboteur in there and that's not going to help.
Yeah, he's not that. He knows all
the time. Well, and not always malicious either. Sometimes your best friends and your most loving family, they don't mean to sabotage you as an entrepreneur or an executive, but they can with the best intentions, right?
Right, yeah. But, you know, sometimes you have to look out for that. You have to be your biggest backbone and you have to love yourself. And you have to get out there and say, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to step out on faith. And that's what it is.
And that's what they get when they work with you, right?
Yes. When you work with me, you're going to get, I'm 100% real. So I'm going to tell you like, hey, your brand is kind of weak. Let's polish it up. Let's mm-hmm. let's do something to spice this up that'll get the, you know, your market experience, that'll get your target market. It's all about finding your target market and intending and, you know, really catering to them. And that's what I teach my women, to know, to define and find your target market and cater just to that market. Sometimes entrepreneurs are so worried about, you know, everyone else. Just sit and think about who you want to market your business to and cater to that target.
Now, do you have any stories you can share of maybe one of the people that's gone through your program that has kind of got some success?
Well, my friend Amber. Hey, Amber, I'm going to tell you a story. Okay, my friend Amber, her husband had passed away, and she was a stay-at-home mom. And she never started her business because she was always so busy being a mom, and you know, her husband worked. So once her husband passed, she had no choice but to step up and to really, you know, provide for the family. And it's very inspirational because she's actually and probably about 4 months. And her scarves and her hair ties are so beautiful. She's in Chicago. And when I sent her the book And she did the accountability exercise. And she said that the accountability exercise really helped her stay on track. And it really took her mind off of her losing her husband. And before she knew it, she had a whole business plan. She had a whole branding strategy. It really helped her, you know, stay accountable and to also deal with her loss of her husband. Right. But it did not stop her, you know. So, and yeah, she'll be on Ellen to tell her story. Yep. And she
said, but you were on Business Radio X.
Yeah, right. I'm on Business Radio X, right. Right.
All right. Where can our listeners go if they want to learn more, have a conversation with you, maybe register for one of these webinars, or get their hands on this book?
Yeah, get your hands on Diary Entrepreneur, get in a webinar, www.businessmominc.
Christopher Stone Payton, thank you to all of the guests we had today. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.